Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
So we're going to dive into prayer. Dear God, thank you for today. God, thank you for this chance we get to come before you and just study your word. We get to know you more through your word. And God, I pray just in this time, just give us open eyes, open ears, open hearts and minds to what you want to show us and teach us and guide us through. Because God, I'm not sure what those listening are going through. I know what I'm going through. I know how I need you to show up in my life. So God, I pray in this time you would just meet us here where we're at through your word and through your presence. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that I would decrease and you would increase. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Teach and guide and comfort and strengthen us today. In your name we pray and we trust, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are diving in today to Psalm chapter 55. Again, we're continuing this study on prayer, right? We've been focusing the last few days on the Psalms, which are some really beautiful examples of prayer. Amen. Just diving into David and some other writers and their heart, right? Their heart to seek God and praise God and just, you know, depend on him through what they're going through, right? And so today is no different. So we're going to dive in today to Psalm 55. And I'll be reading this out of the NIV version, the New International Version. Psalm 55, for the director of music with stringed instruments, a maskil of David. Verse 1. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God, as we walked about among the worshippers. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. Amen to God's word. All right. So, some heavy stuff here we're dealing with, right? David's feeling it. He's going through it, right? And praise God that we have passages like this. We have chapters of the Bible like this to remind us that we don't have to be perfect. We can go through it too, as long as we're going through it with God, right? So we're starting off here, back to the beginning, Psalm 55. So it's the title, the subtitle is For the Director of Music with String Instruments, a Maskil of David. And so this psalm describes a time of where David is going through this power struggle, and he's seeing this rebellion against him, right, in the cities. And even worse than the rebellion he's experiencing is that there's this relationship, right, with a close person, a close associate of his. And we're seeing this struggle that he's feeling, not just externally in the city, but internally with his friendship, right? And so most commentators actually fit the psalm into the psalm expressing the rebellion of Absalom, his son, right? And his associate, Ahithophel, is his partner, right? And so he's experiencing, most commentators say, this season of his life, right? His family and friends are turning against him and leading this rebellion. And we also acknowledge, commentators also acknowledge that not all of it fits in. So I'm not sure if that's exactly the season. And the reality is that regardless of what some commentators say or don't say, the who and the what of this psalm is less important than the why, okay? Because the why here is something so powerful when we read this and reflect on it. Because not only is this prayer so raw and so personal, but it's recorded forever in the Bible. And think about that. There's some things in my journal that I want people to read. There's some things in my journal, some prayers I've written to God, some emotions I've processed with him that I don't really want other people to read, right? And yet there's something here about David that he's so honest. He's so vulnerable that in one of these worst seasons of his life, he's sharing it not just with the director of music, like it says, but with us today, right? This is recorded forever to be shared with other people. Because guys, it's okay to share our hard emotions with God and with others. It's okay to process these things with God and find trusted people to come alongside you in these hard seasons, right? If David could do it, and again, we'll talk about the pain David's going through. There's nothing you're going through that you can't give to God. There's nothing you're going through that he won't bring the right people alongside you, a pastor, a mentor, a connect group leader, a friend, a Christian brother or sister in a connect group, right? He'll bring the right people alongside you to journey with you through it. Amen. And so we read that this is called a maskil. A maskil refers to a specific type of psalm, right? The King David wrote, they call it a skillful song or contemplation. So he's processing again, he's contemplating out loud about his relationship with God. And this word maskil, it comes from a Hebrew root meaning to understand or to be skillful. So if you go back to the Hebrew, which is how these were originally written, these psalms are really didactic poems, and they're so skillfully written, right? And they're meant to teach covenantal truths about God and emphasizing his character and his actions that David's experiencing through these psalms, right? That's so beautiful, because when you look at a maskil that way, especially this one in Psalm 55, David, he's sharing this prayer because he believed, he knew that it would help us and others to learn more about God's character, even in the midst of his own pain. David, He loved God so much. He trusted God so much. Even in the midst of the pain he was going through, he was still willing to share, right? And experience the fullness of God in the midst of this pain. And so he wants to share about God's character and what he's learning about God's character through his pain. And that's what we're going to focus on today. As we look at this prayer, we look at this chapter, the question for all of us today is, what can we learn about God's character through David's prayer here in Psalm 55, right? And for me, there's three things that I learned as I'm reading through this scripture. And maybe you have other things. Feel free to talk about them in the chat. Let me know after. I'd love to hear what you're getting out of this too. Comment on the YouTube, comment on the podcast. We want to hear, what you're learning through this, right? But the three things we're going to focus on today in our time together, these three characteristics of God in Psalm 55, our God is a God of compassion. Our God is an unchanging God, and our God is a God of justice. Amen. So, our first aspect of God we're looking into here today is how our God is a God of compassion. See, the definition of compassion is a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Another dictionary says a sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. And that's our God. Amen. We skip all the way down to verse 22. It says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. We've all, heard that before. It's one of those beautiful, hopeful, journal cover verses or a water bottle sticker verse, right? Cast your cares on the Lord. He will never let the righteous be shaken, right? Like, we've heard these verses before, right? We've seen them. We've colored them on the adult coloring, Bible coloring pages, right? They're so beautiful. And it shows, right? It shows the dependability and the compassion of our God. If we can cast our cares and he will sustain us. He won't let us be shaken, right? And yet, when we back up and get the full context of this verse, we realize that this beautiful verse isn't just a beautiful verse for the sake of it, but it's a beautiful verse that reminds us, reminds David, he wrote it, but through the pain of the other 21 verses before it, right? That our God's a God of compassion, not only because we can rely on him to sustain us and uphold us, but because we can bring him all these other 21 verses of hard emotions to him, and he doesn't run away. There's a reason why, even though this verse is at the end of the chapter, we're talking about it first, right? Because even in the midst of all of the other things that David's feeling, all the other things you're feeling today, we can still cast our cares on the Lord because he's a God of compassion. Right? Because David, he lays out all the junk of his life, all the junk for the director of music, for the hearers of this song, for us today to read, right? He says that my thoughts trouble me and I'm distraught. Terrors of death have fallen on me. He talks about these, the fear and the horror he's feeling, right? He's going through some real mental and emotional struggles. It's okay to bring your mental and emotional struggles before the Lord. He talks about over and over this enemy, right? This enemy who's threatening him and gossiping about him. He says in verse 13, we see a shift. It's not only the enemy coming against him, but the shift in verse 13, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God. He has betrayal. And even deeper than that, he has church hurt. Guys, we can bring our church hurt before the Lord because he sees it. He sees the betrayal we're feeling. He sees the people talking about us behind our backs. Even if we don't know it, we don't see it, he still sees it, right? If David could lay all of this, all of this hurt, all of these struggles, all these challenges, all this pain before the Lord, and still write, cast your cares on the Lord at the end of it, guys, there's nothing too big or too small that we can't bring before our God because He is compassionate. Back at that definition, right? A sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. That's Him. He has concern for your suffering. He has concern for the misfortune you're going through. Not only that, but He has a desire to alleviate it, a desire to meet you in your pain with His peace. Because what was David brought with? What was David met with, right? David brought all of this and had the Lord meet him. Did he have condemnation or judgment? Or did God show up and shake his head at David, saying, "Oh, David, you got to pray more, man. David, you don't have enough faith." No. In verse 16, David writes, "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." We humans, we grow tired. We grow exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even. And yet God doesn't. He saves us. He hears us. Evening, morning, noon, whenever you cry out to him, he's right there with his listening ear. He's waiting with his presence to meet you there. It's up to us, though, to take that step first and call out to him. Cry out to him, share those feelings with him, invite him into those feelings with you. Amen. The physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the relational, it's all there for David. He's running through the gamut of everything in just these few verses, right? And yet, no matter what he's going through, he's still able to write a little bit down for verse 18. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. David's going through one-on-one struggles with his ex-best friend. He's going through enemies, right? Though many oppose me. And yet he still knows the one who is with him, the one who is by his side through it. And let's be honest. Can we be honest? I'll be honest today. Sometimes it's not the many who oppose us, it's not the many who I feel coming against me. It's my own inner thoughts, right? It's my own negative self-image or self-criticism I've had a battle against, right? Even though many oppose me, David writes, sometimes I need to rewrite the psalm for myself and say, even though I oppose me, maybe you're opposing yourself today. And even if you're opposing yourself, God still wants to rescue you and protect you from yourself. From those negative thoughts, from the outside enemies and the inside enemies, those voices, those even we'll say demonic spirits, right? That want to try and oppress us and come against us. He wants to rescue you and protect you from yourself, from the inner and the outer enemies. And it says, He rescues me unharmed. That compassionate God. The God that wants to do no harm to his people out of love and care for you, he rescues us unharmed. And yes, people can harm us with their words. They can harm us with slander, with reputational attacks. They can even harm us physically. They can try and harm us. Our mental, right? Mental and verbal abuse is real. And yet, it says he rescues me unharmed. How? Because we are still unharmed in our identity. Whatever is coming against you, it cannot harm or touch the identity and the calling that God has on your life. You are a child of God. Hear me. You are a child of God. No matter what anyone else tries to say against you, your identity is sealed. God's word over you, his promises for your life are sealed, and nothing can change that. There's no attack. There's no enemy. There's no outside force or inside force that can come against you and change that. He rescues you and he keeps you unharmed in that way. No matter who else tries to harm you or does harm you, You were not harmed in your identity. And how do I know from, how do we know from reading all this? And I'll admit my own personal mental and emotional and spiritual and relational battles. How do I know that God is compassionate? How can we read this and see the compassionate love of God in the midst of that, even today? It's because of the second portion, the second aspect of God we see, that our God is an unchanging God. Verse 19, God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change. We can't miss that one verse. That one verse is the bridge between David writing us then and us reading this today. That one verse, that God who is enthroned from of old, who does not change. And that, it's not just David, right? Just David telling us this. It's confirmed throughout scripture, multiple authors over multiple generations. The word of God to Balaam in Numbers 23:19, God speaks to Balaam and says that God is not human, that he should not lie, not a human being, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? The prophet Malachi 3, verses 6 through 7, he says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Return to me, and I will return to you. Even in the New Testament, James writes in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Guys, we can trust David. We can believe David in this verse, in verse 19, because we see throughout scripture that the God of David is our God now. So whatever David felt then, whatever we feel now, God is the same to meet us there in our prayers, in our anguish, in our anger, in our pain, in our betrayal, and whatever we're feeling, right? We can still rest and trust in God's unchanging nature. Unlike humans that lie, unlike humans that change their mind, unlike humans that come against us, unlike humans that betray us, like David went through going through all of this, right? Even though humans can act double-minded and leave us hurting, God does not and will not lie, reject, or leave you. That's not who he is. It's not who he was. It's not who he will ever be, because it's not God's character. Even in your hard emotions and the things you don't want to give to God, he is still an unchanging God who is compassionate to his people. He's still a God that wants to meet you through your changing emotions, right? I've had those days where I can, be angry or hurt or frustrated or impatient or whatever negative emotion you think one minute, and then, give myself a time away, give myself a nap, give myself some food, right? If you're hangry, give yourself, some physical exercise and move your body. Give yourself some time in God's word or in worship. And what happens? Our emotions can change, right? Our situation might not change, but our emotion can change. And even though our emotions can change, the humans around us can change, God doesn't change. Praise God for that. That his compassion doesn't change. His love for us doesn't change. His desire to meet us doesn't change. He met David in this psalm and over throughout the other psalms and throughout the other stories of David's life. And David's life was not perfect by any means, right? And yet, he can still meet God, and God meets him, whatever he's going through, and he wants to meet us as well today. And this third aspect of God, which wraps everything up, the compassion, the unchanging nature of God, we see it here in this third aspect we're going to talk about, that our God is a God of justice. So we see this as David lays out all the injustice, all the rebellion he's facing, and this injustice and rebellion that breaks David's heart, it also breaks God's heart, right? And stirs up God's anger and God's desire for justice when he sees his son, David, his chosen son, his leader, being rebelled, being hurt, right? Just as it stirs up anger and pain and breaks God's heart when he sees you as his chosen son or daughter being hurt and rejected and rebelled and attacked, right? God has so much care for David because he loves David as a son, because he is his son, right? We're all sons and daughters of God. In the same way, God sees your brokenness. He sees what you're going through, how it breaks your heart, and it breaks his heart as well. And that's because he's a God of justice who wants peace and love and calm, the lives of his people. And yet, through all the injustice, all the rebellion, all the anger David's facing in the midst of the situation, we see that a trust and a dependence David has on God, so much so that David doesn't try and take justice into his own hands, but instead he cries out to God to handle it, right? These prayers of David in verse 9, Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls, malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city, threats and lives never leave it. And we're seeing how David, he sees what's going on, but instead of taking matters into his own hands and calling his army, calling his men, going himself down there to stop it, he's like, Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words. It says, the second half of verse 19, that he will hear them and humble them because they have no fear of God. David knows he doesn't have to go and do anything himself, that God will take care of it. God will hear them. If God hears me and my pain, he hears the injustice. He hears the wickedness of the other people, and he will humble them because they have no fear of God. Verse 23, but you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. He's like, God, I can't do this. You have to, right? And there's some situations in your life where God will give you wisdom, will give you discernment, he'll give you the words to say, to stand up, or to fight the battle with him. And other times, there's other battles you will face or things you'll go through. You'll have to say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you to do it. God, I can't control that situation. I can't control those people. I can't control what they're doing, but I can control myself. I can control my emotions, how I handle it. We talked about yesterday in Pastor Brand's message, right? He said that temptation is not sin. It's how we handle the temptation, right? Our anger, our emotions are not sin. It's how we process and handle these emotions is what leads us either to God or away from God, right? So David here is meeting God in his anger, in the injustice, in the pain, in the frustration, in the betrayal. But instead of leading it to sin and taking matters into his own hands, he trusts God so much that he puts it back in God's hands. And so instead of sin, instead of turning away from God, he uses those emotions to turn himself towards God. That's the whole point of emotions, right? To turn ourselves to God. Because at the second half of verse 23, to close out the psalm, what's it say? It says, but as for me, I trust in you. And that's key to note, right? As we go through all of these emotions, all this pain, this whole laundry list of attacks and people, we see this final last little sentence, but as for me, I trust in you. And this key portion of scripture sums up everything else, right? It gives you the comparison, right? But as for me, the comparison between the wicked, right? The bloodthirsty and the deceitful, those who are living and acting unjustly. And this is how they'll be brought down by God. But as for me, David is trusting in God. As for me, he's choosing the opposite path. He's not choosing to return the bloodthirsty and deceitful ways, which, again, if you read more of David's story, he's done it in the past. David has been a man who's been bloodthirsty. He's been a man of deceit. He's been a man who's betrayed other people. He's betrayed his friends. He's not always been the perfect guy, and yet he's making a different choice this time. He's learned from his past mistakes, his past iniquities, his past sin. Instead of going back to that, he's turning away from it. He's turning away from his previous mistakes. Because even if you've made poor, unjust choices in the past, it's never too late to turn back to God and make a better choice for your present or your future, to trust Him. You can always turn back to God. And David's a prime example of that. He's turning back to God this time. He's not letting his emotions get the better of him. He's not letting his desires, his flesh, his thoughts get the better of him. Instead, he's saying, God, this time, I'm going to trust you. But as for me, I trust in you. You will take care of the rest of it. I can confidently say, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Because David wouldn't write that if he wasn't actually doing it. This wouldn't be in scripture, God's word, if it wasn't being lived out by David in this moment, right? So even though he might not have cast his cares on the Lord before, this time he's learned. This time now he can say, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Despite everything in the verses before it, he's ending on these last two verses and he's declaring his trust even in the midst of uncertainty. He's reminding himself and us of who God is, what he is capable of. And because of it, he gives himself and us the strength, the encouragement to persevere and surrender it all. Amen. We're seeing again this comparison to never being shaken versus the decay of the wicked, the revenge and the bloodthirsty, deceitful people versus trust. This comparison of the prideful and the wicked being humbled by God, right? He will hear them and humble them because they have no fear of God. We're seeing this, the prideful and the wicked being humbled by God versus David here, who's humbling himself and us. We can humble ourselves before God and cast our cares on him instead. Again, this is a New International Version I've been reading from, but a few other translations, paraphrases. The Amplified Version, it says, cast your burden on the Lord, release it, and he will sustain and uphold you. He will never let the righteous to be shaken, to slip, fall, or fail. The Message Version says, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin. The Passion Translation says, so here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, great theologian. I'll leave you this one quote from him. He says, if I cast my burden upon the Lord, what business have I to carry it myself? How can I truthfully say that I have cast it upon him if I am still burdened with it? Whew. Amen. Right? Again, we're seeing David go through all of this, and yet he's living out what it means to cast his burden on the Lord through the psalm. That's my invitation to you today. As we close out our three application questions today, question one, what aspect of God's character stood out for you today? Is it his compassion? Is it his unchanging nature? Is it his justice? Maybe it was something else. Where do you need to press in his character more this week? Question two, how can you relate to David's feelings or situation? Because I know I can. And how does that shift your understanding of God and how to bring your feelings and your situation to him? And question three, probably the most honest question, What do you need to cast on the Lord so he can sustain you today? What emotions, situation, prayer request, cries, or struggles do you need to cast on him today? And even better, what aspect of his character does he want to show you through your struggles, like he showed David? And David wrote this beautiful psalm with this in-depth experience and encounter with God through what he's going through. And if we believe the second aspect, that God's not unchanging, he wants to show you something about himself and his character through your situation. So cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Amen. Oh God, thank you for your word today. God, thank you that you are so strong, you're so unchanging, you're so compassionate for your people, that no matter what we're facing today, God, you want to meet us and lift us out from it. God, I pray for open hearts, open minds. God, give us an honesty and a vulnerability before you today and the rest of this week. Oh God, help us to truly do that, to truly cast our cares on you. And God, I pray for an openness. Give us eyes and ears, hearts and minds to know and to experience more of you and your character in the midst of our situations as we cast our burdens on you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the name of Jesus we get to call on in these situations. Thank you that we can trust in you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, church, have an amazing rest of your day. We love you. We're praying for you. Take care and God bless.